Hello, everyone, and welcome in to another episode of the Full Press Patriots podcast. I'm your host, Ian Glendon, and we are in foreign territory here when it comes to the Patriots after 3 weeks as they fall to 1-2 for only the third time in the Bill Belichick era, and it's only been 4 times that the Patriots have had a 1-2 start or worse through the first 3 weeks in the season. You know, if you want some positive out of all that, of two of those seasons, the Patriots did go on to win the Super Bowl, but the problem is there's a lot changed since those years. So, unfortunately, the Patriots did not move to 2-1. They fell 28-13 to the New Orleans Saints yesterday, and there's a lot to dissect. There's a lot to get into. There's a lot to react to. So I'm going to bring in a little bit of help. And if you watched the Full Press NFL Sunday show yesterday, and if you listened to Kicking It with Keeler, you know Ricky Keeler pretty well. So, Ricky, aside from the Patriots losing, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty well, and I'm reflecting back, and I'm just something I thought of a few minutes ago. If this is a bad rookie game and you watch the other rookie quarterbacks around the league and you're a Patriots fan, if this is as bad as it gets, then it's not going to be that bad. But then you think about what this Sunday will be like, and then you're like, oh, yeah, it could be worse.
Yeah. Look, no, I'm glad you said that because, I mean, there are a lot of negatives. Obviously, you lose a game and you kind of get dominated the way they did in that game. There's not too many positives to take out of it. The one positive, and it's probably the most important positive, was the play of your rookie quarterback. And, you know, let's jump right into it. Let's do the good before the bad. So, Mac Jones, 3 interceptions. You know, unfortunately, that is going to kind of stick out on the stat sheet. And, you know, there was a couple throws in there that weren't intercepted that were off target, specifically some of the deep balls. He was a little long on those in a few opportunities. But once again, I'd say for the most part, under heavy pressure for especially early on, he was once again pretty poised in the pocket, and he made smart decisions for the most part. If you want to say this was his quote-unquote worst of his 3 games, then okay, maybe you can say that, but at the same time, he did a lot of things that make you say, okay, if he continues to develop, the Patriots might really have something here with Mac Jones.
Yeah, I've been very impressed through 3 games. I think you look at yesterday, you look at the 3 interceptions, and one of them is a 3rd and 10 where he honestly should just take it in the sack, not even throwing the ball, leads to 7 points for the Saints. The second one, Jonnu Smith's got a catch. That's not on Mac Jones at all. And the third one, you're down 15 points. You're just trying to do anything at that point. So you kind of just chalk it up to an end of the game interception. But for a guy that's been getting beaten up the way he has, and I know we'll do the bad later, but this Patriot offensive line, I thought was supposed to be a strength of this team, but their right side of the line is awful. They can't run the ball. And considering that Mac Jones basically do almost everything by himself just to get that game within 8 points in the fourth quarter yesterday, I don't think he was great. I would say if you do the good and the bad, he's like, I think it was an average game, but for a rookie, I think you should uptick the grade like a step up. So I didn't come away discouraged by Mac Jones, but you could see teams are going to start to make him throw downfield, and that's where the test is going to happen.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I go into this with a rookie quarterback expecting there's going to be some growing pain. So like you mentioned, there was a play where, you know, he should have taken the sack instead of throwing the ball. Like, he's going to learn. And that's a play that, like, if you have a veteran quarterback, I'm going to sit there and say, oh, that's a terrible play. But if it's a rookie, you say, okay, yeah, it's not a good play. But you just don't want to see him do it again. You want to see him learn from situations like that. And for the most part, he's responded pretty well. And look, one of his best throws was a, you know, that sideline scramble where, you know, he had pressure on him right away. He rolled to his right and hit Jonnu Smith on the sidelines, and Smith just couldn't come up with it, and that's disappointing because, you know, especially with a rookie, you want to see his teammates elevate his play at times, and I just don't feel like we're getting that from anyone on the Patriots offense.
There is clear there's still a lack of explosive playmakers on this team when they can't run the football, and I think they got away from it too quick. I mean, only 6 carries for Damian Harris is not good enough. James White obviously leaving the game with that hip issue. From the looks of it, he's going to be out a while. So they're going to need either J.J. Taylor or get Ramondre Stevenson out of the doghouse and actually get him carrying the ball. But you paid Jonnu Smith a big amount of money. 1 catch for 4 yards and 6 targets is unacceptable. Yeah. Hunter Henry had a decent game, 5 catches for 36, but you had the chance. I think it was third quarter, 14-3. You're driving. You had a 4th and 1. They're going to go for it. And I think Hunter Henry's the one that went with the false start. They had to kick a field goal.
Yep.
I mean, this Patriot team, it's not even the quarterback. They're doing things that maybe Brady just covered up with. It's penalties and just dumb situations that they used to see other teams do against them. Now they're the ones doing it. It's sad to watch sometimes.
Well, and that's a great point. And we'll, you know, obviously bring Brady up because, well, this is now Bucks Patriots week as we're, you know, putting a wrap on this week 3 game. You know, this is a team that if Brady's the quarterback, they're probably 3-0 right now. And that's not to, again, this isn't a knock on Mac Jones because he's a rookie. This is his third career start. Again, you have to expect some growing pains. But, you know, when you look at the issues that the Patriots are dealing with, I'd put Mac Jones very, very far down on that list to the point where, like, I'd probably only put him on that list if we had to rank everyone from worst to, you know what I mean? Like, he's been, you know, relative to some of the other rookie quarterbacks, especially, I mean, Justin Fields was, he was sacked, what, like 15 times yesterday or on Sunday? And, yeah, I mean, in reality, it was 8 or 9, which that's still an absurd number. His bad game was a whole hell of a lot worse than anything we've seen from Mac Jones. Likewise for Trevor Lawrence. Likewise for some of these other rookie quarterbacks. So, you know, in relation to that, Mac's doing pretty darn well. And in this offense where, look, I mean, the tight end situation, and this is something I want to ask you too a little bit more specifically, because it's not just this game that these two have been, you know, I don't want to say invisible, but even those catches from Hunter Henry, they're, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't recall a impactful catch of any of those that he made. You know what I'm saying? Like, you brought in those two guys. You paid them a lot of money to make big-time catches and be a big part of this offense. And through 3 games, I'm, you know, sitting there saying, like, yeah, if you had to judge it right now, you'd say this was a big-time miss on the part of the Patriots. But fortunately, you don't make these big-time judgments after 3 games. What are your overall impressions, and how do you think the Patriots need to get these two more involved, or how do they need to get themselves more involved?
Yeah, that's the thing, because I think you watch these 3 games, Ian. We thought that the tight end's going to be the central focus of the offense, and judging from the play calling from Josh McDaniels, it doesn't seem to be that way, and it's kind of odd. Like, they're not involved a little bit more, and Hunter Henry, look at his numbers. I mean, through 3 games, 10 catches on 13 targets, about 100 yards. It hasn't been awful, but he had the dumb penalty that I just mentioned earlier that obviously he's going to want back. And he's made a couple of third down throws. I think Jones has looked to him in some of those situations. The one thing you're at least encouraged by offensively, Jacoby Myers definitely looks like a player. 9 catches on 14 targets. So you know he's going to be a consistent in this offense. And maybe Kendrick Bourne is starting to find it after that good touchdown he had in the 4th quarter. To me, I'm more concerned with this appearance of Nelson Aguilar, who had the touchdown week 1, and we know he's more famous for if he actually catches a deep ball, but he needs to get more involved in the offense too, and maybe that's from getting the ball down the field, because I think it's just as simple as this. If you're a team like the Saints that has a great defense, and you know that their Patriots are going to do everything underneath, you're going to take away everything underneath. You're just going to send pressure. To me, it's more if the tight end also has to stay in to block, because I don't think we thought this after 3 games. Trent Brown is one of the more valuable Patriots on the roster because Justin Heron and Kajus, the guy from the Chiefs, they've been terrible.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, okay, Nelson Aguilar has been gone, but is it a matter of play calling versus just him disappearing himself? And that's something that you have to consider. Like, okay, we've seen them take a pretty slow approach with Mac Jones. I mean, the reason why, you know, he hasn't had too many, I guess, turnover worthy plays is because, well, they're playing it safe with him, and that's fine. You know, he's a rookie quarterback, but that may end up minimizing the impact of a guy like Nelson Aguilar. And when I look at this receiving core, I think they I think they have the potential to be pretty darn dynamic, but I think that also relies on one of the two tight ends also being a threat. So when the defense goes on the field to face the Patriots offense, you know, obviously every player they have to account for. I'm not saying just ignore one player, but in years past, you made sure that Gronk was covered. You knew what Gronk was doing, and I just don't see defenses to this point looking at the tight ends, either of them, that way, and that's something I kind of anticipated was going to happen in this season because I just saw both of them as being potentially a guy that could bring a dynamic side to this Patriots offense and then in turn open up the offense for the three wide receivers, and we're just not getting that. Also, again, the running game, not really getting much out of that as well. In blips, we are, but not consistently.
But I think with the running game Sunday, it just seemed like they went away from it too quick. I remember Mark Schlereth on the broadcast right out of the gate said with Alvin Kamara, you may not get the yards right away, but you just got to keep plugging and plugging away. Mm-hmm. And maybe you break one. Like Kamara, look at the stat line, 24 carries for 89 yards. It looks not – if you said to a Patriot fan that's what Kamara does, you'd take that. But he was getting those 4 or 5 yard runs that were very critical to put Winston in those third and shorts or third and mediums. You kind of – even if it's not working, you got to keep trying. Like Damian Harris needs to get – at least 10 to 15 carries, like 6 carries in a game. I know the Patriots were trailing, but they weren't down like 21-3 in these kind of situations. It was still a 2-score game or a touchdown and a field goal. You got to at least still have some balance. You can't ask a rookie quarterback to throw the ball 51 times and expect to get a win.
You can't expect many quarterbacks to throw over 50 times and expect to get a win. I mean, that's just, it's pretty much every quarterback doesn't win in those situations. I can think of one in particular that actually does, but you know, he's a guy that New England fans are obviously very, very familiar with and will be taking snaps in Foxborough on Sunday. But moving on to the defense real quick, because if you want to talk about disappointing, this defense reminds me very much of those early 2010s defenses that were very bend, don't break. And, you know, we talked a little bit about how, you know, maybe in years past, Tom Brady made up for a lot of issues across, you know, the team. And in this case, I thought, you know, especially during those years, the offense certainly carried this Patriots team. Now, we haven't been seeing the run defense I expected. The pass defense is good at times, but not consistent, and certainly have trouble getting off the field on third down. Stephon Gilmore should help some of that, assuming he comes back healthy and motivated, and I'm not questioning his motivation. I'm just saying, you know, you're taking several months off, you're coming back after injury, all that stuff. You know, it might take you a little bit to get into the flow. That should help, but how concerned, you know, give me like a level of concern when it comes to what you've seen from this Patriots defense early on. Like, yeah, they picked off Zach Wilson 4 times last week, but, you know, I'm not seeing that as something that's a great positive in their way, you know?
I'll say a 6. I'm not going to go full-blown panic because I think you have to look at the context. Yes, the Saints scored 28 points, but in reality, 7 of those points are a pick 6, and the other 7 came from a interception that got inside the 10-yard line. So you're going to give up points. So really, this defense essentially gave up 14 points. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, it's like you said, not being able to stop the run. When you put a lot of money into run defense, you brought in Godshall, you brought in Henry Anderson, not having Josh Uche hurt yesterday big time because they need him in that front 7. But you're right. I think third down is a big concern. There was a couple, especially in the fourth quarter. Patriots defense got better. Their third quarter, they were getting to Jameis Winston. They were getting sacks, getting pressure. But it was those third downs in that last drive, Saints just kept converting them, and they were running it at will, and you had the third down play early in the game where Winston throws to Kamara, and Van Noy thought there was going to be coverage. There wasn't coverage. So third downs are still a concern. Secondary, I think, has actually been okay when you consider they don't have Gilmore. They don't have a couple other guys. You haven't seen Sean Wade yet, really. So the cornerback situation is depleted, but the secondary has been okay. I really think they built this defense to stack the box, and now teams are running at them, and you know they're going to run, and it works. And that, to me, is the issue. Fortunately, you play Tampa. They don't run the ball anyway, so it's probably not going to matter. But
unfortunately,
I think it's fair to be at a 6. I wouldn't full-blown panic because, like you said, I think we need to see Stephon Gilmore in this defense before we make a fair assessment of it. But they should not be run on as much and be tired out as much as it seems they've been over the first three games.
Yeah, and look, I mean, like I said, we've seen at times this defense look like they're one of the best in the league and then, you know, seem out of sorts the next drive. And that's kind of the issue. And my one concern is what happens when they play a better quarterback. Like, I thought Jameis Winston played a fine game yesterday. I'm not taking anything away from that. I just think the Patriots were very fortunate to be in that game late. Like, I thought they're, you know, the Saints left a lot of points or felt like they left a lot of opportunity on the field against this team, especially early on when the Patriots were really kind of out of sorts. And I just worry that, like, that inconsistency, you know, throughout the course of the season is going to hurt them, you know, long term, especially when they don't have that fallback plan of being able to turn to their offense, which, you know, who knows? I mean, that could come. That could come by the end of the season. It, you know, again, you have to be patient with a rookie quarterback. I've seen, you know, people overreact to three games, and it's like, man, just a week ago, we were praising the kid for his, you know, for his first, you know, win of his career. And, you know, he just had a streak of about 84 passes to start his career without throwing an interception. And you know what? That's pretty darn impressive. It's not Tom Brady, but again, no one is. So I think people just need to adjust their expectations and, you know, be reasonable with it. And I think you can appreciate his development, but also be concerned with, you know, what else you see around him. So before we let you go, Ricky, we have to take a quick look ahead, because this isn't just a regular season game. This is the return of the GOAT, Tom Brady, with the Buccaneers. I'll ask you, as someone who follows the Patriots, a fan of the Patriots, how do you view this? Because I know people are split. Some see him as an enemy. Some, you know, say, oh, I only care about the sweater, you know, that whole, you know, mumbo jumbo, all that stuff. Where do you land when it comes to Tom Brady and the Bucs and the Patriots and all that, just in terms of rooting interest?
This, for this week, I'm going to be sick of it, because I hate the divide it creates.
Oh, yeah.
Because, look, Tom Brady did great things for 20 years, and Tom Brady didn't want to be here anymore. Whether you believe that's Bill Belichick's fault, that he should have catered to Brady more, or whether Brady, who, like we talked about on FPC NFL Sunday, I think Tom Brady was too focused on this week, because you had his dad talking and Alex Guerrero talking, and while Brady played a good game yesterday, you can't tell me that's not in the back of his mind as Aaron Donald is coming after him and the Rams defense coming after him. So clearly he was focused somewhat on this game coming up. But I hate people blaming Belichick. Maybe you blame Belichick, the GM, because he hasn't put exactly the best parts together. And so far the parts he's brought in this year haven't been great. But that doesn't mean Bill Belichick is like an awful coach now, that he can't, like, you have to think, and maybe it's the only glaring optimistic point going into Sunday, Bill has like a back folder somewhere. I don't know where it is in his office, but it's probably somewhere. If I have to play it against Tom Brady, how do I beat him? And before we saw Todd Bowles stop Patrick Mahomes, Bill Belichick was the only coach that really knew how to not stop Mahomes, but contain him. You can't stop Tom Brady, but I think we saw Matt Judon have a good game last week. He's going to need one this week. I'm glad Tom is succeeding. And I don't think any, if you asked Bill Belichick, you believe Tom Brady would be this great at 44. I don't think, we both thought Tom would be good, but I don't think people thought he would be putting up 07 type numbers through the first three games of the season. So I don't blame either side. I get it. The Patriots have a plan they're trying to follow. And look, the Bucs want to pay the Piper over the next 5 years, but they get their Super Bowls out of it. You take it. Your rebuild plan got delayed with the Patriots, but we'll see what Mac Jones is, but you got two Super Bowls at it. You just lost Jimmy Garoppolo, but you know what? That's okay. So you can, I think, like both. You don't have to hate one or the other, but you can also, you know what? You can, you kind of see him, Brady, cater to the fans, and he can, because guess what? You all love him. You all don't care what he says, and he knows that, and that's why Brady's been kind of whining lately in my mind.
Well, and like, look, I think you brought up a great point that, you know, how this whole dynamic came about was, and my belief is, in 2017, Bill Belichick looked at it as if he was the coach and the runner of this team. And he said, well, I don't expect Tom Brady to do what he's doing at 44. And really, if anyone did, outside of Tom Brady himself, that's almost downplaying what he's actually doing at 44. I think he's normalized, Brady, that is, this type of success this late, to the point where anyone just, oh, anyone's going to do this, when no one does this. And I think that's lost on some people. So Belichick, like anyone else, should have looked at it and said, well, I'm not going to give him a five-year deal. This is in 2017. Why would I? That would bring him through age 45. That as much as he loves Tom Brady, even he probably anticipated he's not going to be playing at this level. So if you were to ask him in 2017 and tell him, if you knew the future, that Tom Brady would be playing at this level, they sign him to a long-term deal in New England, and he stays in New England. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I view it. But after that point, you know, it got to the point where they were given the incentive-laden contracts, there were short-term contracts, and that just kind of, that was it. You know, that was the end of it, and the Patriots couldn't really go beyond what they were able to offer. And on top of that, they didn't really have a team that was set up for success yet. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Brady would have been able to drag them to the playoffs like he's done for years, but the team probably wasn't going to be a Super Bowl contender. Brady saw that. Belichick realized it. They departed, and that was that. And, you know, a lot of this drama, I feel, is so manufactured. And that's the worst part about it, because, like, you're getting, like, four or five different narratives at once coming in, and you're trying to decipher who's on what side and all this. And I just want to watch the game. You know, I'm excited to see Tom come back. You know, he's going to break the record for passing yards in the regular season. He needs 68 yards. You know, of course he's going to do it. I'd love to see a 69-yard touchdown to Rob Gronkowski and then have the Patriots, you know, pretty much beat up on the Bucks the rest of the day. But that, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to break that record. He's going to get recognized on the big board, and he deserves to be cheered. I mean, I don't care how hardcore of a Patriots fan you are. The guy deserves to be admired or whatever when he returns, and you can cheer for him and still root for the Patriots to win that game. It's not that hard. So I'm choosing to basically, like, look at it as, hey, they were together for 20 years. Do I wish Tom Brady was still a Patriot? Absolutely. Excuse me. Am I happy that he's still winning? Absolutely. If they happen to play the Patriots in the Super Bowl, who am I going to root for? Well, the Patriots, of course. So, you know, it is what it is. It should be an interesting week. Right now, I'll tell you what, though. If the Patriots play the way they did to start this game this past week, they're not going to beat the Bucs. They'll score points because the Bucs' defense isn't that great. But I have a feeling Tom's going to be pretty on top of his planning and preparation for this week.
Well, think of this in two ways. Even if you're a Patriot fan, think back to the Titans wild card loss. Where did you really think at that? Like, I remember talking with you over the course of that season. I was like, you know what? I'm like, Tom's not the reason they're losing, but he doesn't look like the guy he looks like now. And I know they didn't have the weapons around him and all that, but you kind of have to take that into context. So, you know what? The guy maybe needs a fresh start somewhere else. You're in one place the entire time. You want to go to Tampa. You know what? It's a better place for him than going to the AFC West and playing against Patrick Mahomes twice. It's a good situation for him. The other thing would be, I feel like Sunday is going to feel like a Bucks home game. And I kind of will call on some Patriot fans, since you're listening to a Patriot podcast, like, you're allowed to cheer if Tom Brady makes a mistake. Okay. If Tom Brady overthrows a ball, don't get sad. You might be wearing your 12 jersey, because I'll be honest, like, you buy these Patriot jerseys, like, I have, like, an Edelman and those guys, and they leave, and it's like, okay, what do I have left? Like, I gotta get the Mac Jones one, right? So it's like, you have to be able to still be happy Brady is succeeding, and if you're going to the game Sunday, which, if you do, I'm glad you have that much money, or you know somebody.
Yeah.
But think of it as, you're cheering for him, just don't cheer when he throws a touchdown. Like, try to, like, maybe just don't do anything. Maybe you cheer for the first one, because I'll be like, I don't hate Gronk. If you're a Patriot fan, you shouldn't hate Brady. You should honestly hate Rob Gronkowski, because I feel like he quit on this team. And you should kind of hate Antonio Brown, because he didn't really make the most of his opportunity here. Now he's playing with his best friend in Tampa. So really, those two, I would put more ire at than I would Brady.
Yeah, see, I'm a little bit more of a honk than you are. I don't, you know, honestly, I'm indifferent on Gronk. Like, I understand that he was, you know, he was beat up, you know, towards the end of his run with the Patriots. You know, you could see it on the field, very, just not the full 100% Gronk. And, you know, I said it at the time, I still believe it. I thought it was a mistake for the Patriots to cut Antonio Brown. At the time, I felt it was a move made by Robert Kraft based on a lot of the pressure from the outside. And, you know, he decided, and that's his right. And, you know, I don't dislike Robert Kraft, or I'm not going to call for it. No, I just think he made a mistake. That's all. People make mistakes. And I think he did in that situation. And that was certainly, if Brady's future fate wasn't sealed already, that was certainly the extra nail on the coffin, was getting rid of Antonio Brown. Because at that point on, obviously, all the other issues the Patriots had with that receiving core for the rest of the season certainly harken back to, well, they did have Antonio Brown at one point. That one single point where he, you know, scored a touchdown and all that stuff. But no, I definitely get it, though. I can see why people can hate those guys. But look, even as great as Gronk is, he's not Tom Brady. Like I said, I'm not... This doesn't happen with every single player that you think I'm, standing Cassius Marsh? No. That's not happening. You know what I mean? Like, do you think I bought a Malcolm Butwell? I mean, I didn't buy a Brady Bucks jersey. I won't do that until he retires, just for, you know, collection purposes. But, you know, like, I'm not going out, like, cheering for Malcolm Butler with the Cardinals or anything like that. This is Tom Brady. You're talking about the greatest professional football player, in my opinion, of all time. And he just happened to play for your team. And he just happened to, you know, be on a team that I followed for much of my entire late teen to adult life. So, it's a different situation. You know, appreciate what you had. Like I said, this weekend's going to be the first time in my entire life I'm ever going to root against him, ever. It's going to be a little weird. But I'm excited to see him break this record. As meaningless as I think it is to him, and I personally believe it's kind of silly because it doesn't take into account postseason records, in which, you know, he's obviously so far above everyone else if you include the postseason. But I think it's going to be a nice situation where he's going to get a nice little thing on the board. You know, Tom Brady breaks the record, and he's going to get cheered. You know, you're going to have some knuckleheads that are going to boo, but he's going to get cheered, and I think he deserves that. But I do also hope that the Patriots win by quite a bit. But maybe Brady pads his stats a little bit, though.
You just hope it. I think if you're a Page fan, all you just hope for, and it's weird you mentioned the 1-2 start at the beginning of the show. It's weird this team is looking like it's going to start 0-3 at home. Like, yeah. Gillette Stadium used to be the home field advantage, where if you even lost a game there, you'd be shocked. And yes, it's a Tom Brady factor, but to potentially lose three straight home games, and then think of their next home game, week 6, is against Dallas. I mean, this team, if they don't pick it up, could lose their first 4 home games. And that's not a recipe for – I'm not saying you're going to win the division, because obviously Buffalo looks to be on track. But and Miami did play better, even though they didn't have Tua yesterday. But to win 9-10 games, you can't start off 0-4 at home.
No, you're right, and that's really, I mean, and it's really highlighting the difference between, you know, just the difference between a guy like Brady and even a very good quarterback. Like, I mean, that's how important it is, and that's, like, it doesn't seem like a lot, but ultimately that's, a great quarterback can mask quite a bit. And, you know, like I said, if you're looking at all things being equal, if Tom Brady is the quarterback of this team for the first 3 games, they're 3-0. Not an indictment on Mac Jones. It's just, it is what it is. It's expectations have to be adjusted. You know, it's no longer a guarantee, like you said, that you're going to walk into Gillette Stadium and they're going to go 7-8-0, you know, the entire season and not, you know, lose a game or lose one game at home. It's just not going to happen anymore. You have to expect the unexpected, so to speak. But like I said, if you have the right perspective when looking at all this, you can find some positives. Like I said, at the start of the show, Mac Jones is certainly one of them. Ricky, I'm going to wrap this up because, like I said, I don't want to keep you too long. I appreciate you taking the time. Your gut feeling, real quick. Patriots have any chance to win this game on Sunday?
Maybe I'll change my mind with more positivity, like, as it gets closer. I've never been so negative about a game in about 20 years. If the Patriots lost this game by under 20, I'm shocked the spread. I saw the spread was 5.5, which is like, how is it 5.5? that no, I mean, it's not Buffalo 17.5 over Houston, but I can't see the Patriots within two touchdowns. I think it's at least Tampa by 17 points.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I mean, like, it, just based on the most recent thing I've seen, it's pretty tough. And obviously, this is going to be the best quarterback that they face all this season. Ricky, thank you very much. And everyone out there listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back a little bit later in the week with another episode as we get closer and closer to Tom Brady's return to Foxborough. Have a great day, everyone.